Hello, this is me, Alan O'Donoghue, and it's another episode of the Teach Computing podcast. Today you find me in London. I'm at the headquarters of the British Computing Society, which is sort of Covent Garden area of London, and I'm at a launch event that is Cybersecurity Challenge UK, and they're launching a new Do you know what? I'll come on to it in a little bit, but I know it's called Cyfinks, and it's kind of trying to help plug the digital skills gap that there is in the UK at the moment, where cybersecurity industries are looking to recruit people to come and join them, but they're just not finding the kind of people they need to. A little bit more of that later on. Now, at the moment, I'm with Jason Stanton. So, Jason, why are you here at this event? Hello, Jason.
Well, I'm the school's program manager for Cybersecurity Challenge. Recently took over the post, and I met with you, Coventry University, about 2 weeks ago. And I'm here today to help promote the Cyfinks, particularly the school's angle of it, and where we can use it to help teach kids and let them have a fun experience of cybersecurity, but also learn the importance of why it is so important.
So if I was to go out now and say to another teacher, oh, you need to find out about the cybersecurity challenge,
yeah,
what kind of things should I be saying to teachers about cybersecurity?
Yeah, well, as first, the first thing I'd always say is always go to our website first. So that's cybersecuritychallenge.org.uk. On there, you should see a big launch, bit of media about the Cyfinks. You can read all about it there as well. You can also log into our pod, which is our play on demand system, and play a few of the back end of some of these games. And hopefully in the next few days, you'll see some videos of the Cyfinks.
But this is a very new thing because it's launched today.
Today, yeah.
Is there content already that's been available on there for teachers, like on the cybersecurity site, like lesson plans?
Or, yeah. So if you go to the education part of the website and you look at the school section, the drop down for that, you'll see an email address, which is schools@cybersecuritychallenge. And if you send your email onto that, you'll be sent through an occasional email, which has a bunch of resources for you.
Like a newsletter?
Free lesson plans, mm-hmm. newsletters, links to our virtual and physical challenges that you can do. And also, guidance on where to push your kids if they want to go into cybersecurity.
So I remember a couple of years ago, might have been last year, I got a postcard, came to my school, and it had like a code on there that you had to try and...
Yeah.
Scratch
cards as
decode. Yeah, the scratch card. And it was saying, if you can solve this mystery, go on to here. Did you see this card?
We've still got a bunch of those resources going along. We like to try and be as innovative as possible and just, enthuse people about cybersecurity. It has got a bit of a bad rap as being quite a boring subject, but it's not like that at all. So anything that we can do, scratch cards or breaking codes, which kids love, and trying out these new 3D environments like the Cyfinks today. It's all about engaging with kids, but also getting the teachers on board.
And you've got a Twitter handle, have you? If people wanted to contact Cybersecurity Challenge,
it'd be @CyberChallenge.
Okay,
or one word. Yeah.
So let's go and talk to some people here at the event, and let's find out what they've been doing. So I've just managed to get hold of Dan Galbraith and James.
Hi.
Dan's dad.
I am.
Yeah. And Dan, you were showing me something a few moments ago on the computer. You were showing me all these challenges that you created.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about them.
Yeah. So the Cybersecurity Challenge UK have opened up this new platform known as Pod, or Play on Demand. And it allows anyone in the world to go online. The website's up 24/7 to play cybersecurity challenges. I've created a challenge for it called Malware Analysis, and it involves analyzing a computer virus to find out what it's doing, where it's going.
Isn't that potentially dangerous? Because if somebody's going to download some malware onto their computer, and as part of this challenge, couldn't they damage their computer?
Yeah, so the malware that I've created for it isn't actually malicious in any way. It doesn't break anything. It doesn't submit any of your personal information. It gets the name of your computer and then sends it to another program that's running on your computer at the same time. After analyzing the file, you will actually find out it's just the name of your computer that it's sending. So it doesn't do anything. And after it's sent that, it exits. So there's nothing remains on your computer. And of course, it's just for the challenge. There's no actual intent here.
And who's actually written this piece of software that does this?
Yeah, so I created the software.
You did?
Yeah, I created the software.
Do you mind me asking how old you are? Or?
Yeah, I'm 17.
Oh, wow, okay.
I created it in a language called VB.NET, which is from Microsoft. It's quite a simple language. It allows you to do stuff a lot faster than you'd be able to do in languages like C++.
But, so did you learn all this at school then?
No, I taught myself over the internet, just researching, looking things up. Because in schools, to be honest, they just don't have enough content in programming or cybersecurity these days.
Wow. So I'm trying to figure out, you're 17 years old. You probably haven't just started this a week or two ago. You probably started this a little while ago. When did it start for you?
So when it really kicked off was the summer of 2 years ago. That was when I really started getting into things. But I've always had an interest in security since I was young. When I was about 8 years old, maybe nine, I broke the administrator password on my dad's computer so I could install software from serial
boxes. Does dad know this?
Yes.
Yeah, because dad's here with us now.
The old horrible history software.
That's right,
CDs.
Horrible history. Yeah, I remember
it. Yeah.
So, Dad, why did you have a password on the computer in the first place?
Well, obviously, when you've got young children, you don't really want them to be exposed to the internet too early on because there's a lot of content out there you don't want them to see. So I put a password on there, and I think he'd probably cracked it within a few weeks.
Oh, no. So, and did you just figure out, was it like the name of your cat or the name of your dog or something?
So initially, it was some tricks to do with something called command prompt on the computer. Because in Windows XP, you can type some stuff into there, and it will actually just remove the password entirely. You don't have to guess it or anything.
Oh, so you didn't guess your dad's password.
No.
You actually like wrote some software to like crack it or work it out.
I used a part of the operating system that not many people know about, known as command prompt. And there's some commands you can type in there just to wipe it completely.
James, you're Dan's dad. Are you not terrified that he can work out what your password is now, or he can bypass it?
Well, I'm glad to say I've got nothing to hide. So I mean, as a family, we share a main family email.
Yeah.
And I've not got any secrets, I'm glad to say. So it wouldn't matter too much to me.
This sounds terrifying. You know, you can work all this stuff out. Don't you think then there's a danger that if some young girls and young lads work out how to do this, that they can then use these skills that they've acquired to go out and do damage with them?
Well, there are. I like to think we brought him up the right way so he can tell the difference between wrong and right. I'd imagine there is a dilemma for a lot of young kids, you know, to try and hack into something to see how far they can get. But I used to remind Daniel about the Men in Black. We don't want a van turning up
with
Men in Black carting him off somewhere.
Yeah, black bag overhead in the middle of the night.
Absolutely. So we don't want anything like that. So I'd rather he work for the good guys than the bad guys.
So, Dan, where do you think that this might end? We're like 5-10 years from now, can you see yourself using any of these skills in any way?
Yeah, so after college, I'm looking to go to university or to try and maybe do an advanced apprenticeship in another company. But yeah, I'm just really looking forward to the future. I'd like to go and work in a big company like IBM or Cisco in their security division.
That's fantastic. So that's great. I'm now going to talk to somebody else who's created a... you've created a Minecraft adventure or something?
So it's a Minecraft map that encompasses lots of different challenges, all kind of focused around cybersecurity that anyone from kind of ages 13, 14 onwards can play. Each of the challenges of varying difficulty and kind of based on your experiences, based on your knowledge and your inquisitiveness will determine kind of, you know, how well you do.
So I should have introduced you. You're Matt Watkins.
Matt Watkins, yes.
And what would you normally be doing? Are you teaching? Are you a student?
So I've just graduated from a degree in computer networks and security. I currently work in London as a network intrusion analyst for MWR Info Security.
So where do you find the time to build things in Minecraft?
Well, at the minute, I struggle, actually. It's finding the time is quite a difficult one, but the challenge kind of came out of the back of me having just completed university back in June, and I had a bit of free time spare, so I thought, okay, let's play Minecraft with a few of my housemates, and kind of after a few days realized that it just wasn't worthwhile. I wasn't really getting anywhere. There was no benefit to me playing the game, and kind of thought, okay, maybe we could potentially engross this into some kind of security challenge. Maybe we can embed some challenges in some way somehow. And off the back of that, I started building the challenge, tested some things, and it's just grown from
there. So here's a question I want to ask Dan. Yeah. So Matt, you've created this Minecraft world with all these challenges to crypto. Dan, have you tried this?
Yeah, I've had a go at his Minecraft.
Was it
challenge.
Really easy?
Yeah, it's really good. It's definitely not easy, though.
No?
Yeah, there's lots of places where I got stuck on because there's not many clues given to you. There's some places where you have to dig up the ground to find things. But in the sense of security, there's lots of like QR codes and encoded patterns involved.
Did you not feel like giving up at some point? Like you were showing me, Matt, you were showing me something before where you had to basically jump through some lava. I won't give too much away in case it makes it easier for people. But Dan, did you not feel like you wanted to give up? Sometimes it was too hard.
Well, with the most of the aspects of Minecraft actually surviving in the map are removed. It's much more security focused, which is kind of the more of the point to it. But there are a few places. On one of the challenges, I think they described it as one of the hardest ones. There's just a complete mess of colours all over the ground.
That's right, yeah.
In no normal pattern. It's in like a weird kind of curve. And you just think, what do I do with it?
Yeah. No pattern that you could recognise. So I'll go back to Matt now. So have you tried any of Dan's challenges? Because he had a malware one where you had to try and...
Yes, so I was at the CreatorFon when Dan first initially built his malware challenge. I haven't since had a chance to play with that due to time. I haven't really had a chance to play with many of the other pod games because building my challenge has been quite a large task. But from what I've seen, you know, things are looking really cool.
So I'm a father and I've been a teacher for a long time as well. And some of this, I have to say, gets me a little bit scared that, like, is there a danger that we're over-glamorizing all this, like, hacking thing? Because I remember some kids in my school used to get really excited, like, oh, we can hack into things. Do you think?
So I suppose a lot of it's around education. You know, if we can educate people from a young age, we can drive them and steer them down into the right path through the cybersecurity challenge, through the play on demand platforms, through the cyber challenge schools program. Things like that can really allow children to go down that right path where they're not making the wrong decisions. They, you know, decisions that they make are completely ethical. I think that's a large part of it. You know, my Minecraft game hopefully is something that people can get involved in and they'll enjoy. Sure. And rather than kind of doing bad stuff on the internet, so to speak, they'll spend time kind of solving my challenges and the challenges of everyone else.
So I suppose in a way this all really started with James, because you actually created the first challenge, didn't you? Which
I
was
did,
having
indeed.
That password on
absolutely.
The on that password Windows executed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Dan, you managed to solve the challenge, yeah. And in doing so you've led on to other challenges. Well, thank you very much. It sounds like a great initiative to be involved with, and I wish you all the best with that, and I hope you get some great feedback on that.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you very much.
Now I have to find the pause button. So now I've asked, this is Stephanie, you've come along. I wonder if you could just introduce yourself, Stephanie, a little bit.
Yes,
what you're doing.
I certainly can. I'm Stephanie Damon. I'm CEO of Cybersecurity Challenge UK. And this is very much our baby, our initiative. And it jumps on the back of all the work that we do in this space generally. And our mission is very simply to get the right number of properly qualified people into the cybersecurity profession. So I think you can see this is a natural extension of our challenges. And we were very keen to extend out into the wider community and reach people who we would not normally reach. There are something like 30 million UK gamers out there.
Gosh.
And so what they don't realize is if you're good at gaming, you're also very likely to be good at cybersecurity. So we thought if we did something that appealed to gamers, then we could draw them in and help them to see that actually cybersecurity might be something for them, and ultimately they then might join us in the profession.
So the problem you're trying to solve is, there's a big skills gap?
There is a huge skills gap. Mm-hmm. The statistic that always bothers me is a very recent one produced from some ISC Squared research, which predicts that by 2020, there'll be a shortfall globally of 1.5 million.
Whoa.
Yeah. Which is huge, mm-hmm. Absolutely huge. So yes, we want to tackle the sort of UK piece of that skills gap.
So what I've seen from the demonstrations and talking to some of the people here, it effectively looks like a virtual building that you can wander into. And on the ground floor, you've got all these things you can go and look at, and some of them may be some of the companies who are sponsors, and they might have little adverts or posters they want to look at. But the real fun starts to happen when you take on a particular challenge.
Absolutely.
Which is the play on demand part of it. And
yes.
Then One challenge I've seen that Dan created, which is the malware thing, and I was amazed that, you know, 17-year-old had created this. And then Matt, somebody in his spare time at the end of his university degree, had created this Minecraft environment. It's almost reminiscent. Have you seen the film The Imitation Game?
Yes.
Yeah, which is a kind of a fictionalized account of Turing and the machine and all this. But I remember the very part of that, they're faced with this recruitment crisis and they create this crossword, which they publish, I think, in the Times.
That's right. Yes.
And then it's the people who get to, and there was a lady came along, wasn't there? There was this kind of, well, should we have women, you know, involved in this? So have you seen the same kind of thing?
To some extent. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have very many women in the profession. And that appears to be something, I don't know whether it's perhaps what we've been teaching in our schools in the last few years. What we find in our schools programs is that as many girls as boys are good at this and are engaged and interested in it. And I think our mistake has been not to continue to engage them through their teenage years, which is something that we hope to do through the platform, through our schools program, and through something called Cyber Centurion, which is a cybersecurity game. And we've had actually some very successful all-female teams who've done very well. There's a huge demand for women in the industry, simply because if you're going to have a really balanced team to tackle and solve a problem, you need a mix of both sexes.
And cybersecurity isn't an issue that only affects males.
Of course not.
Sounds ludicrous. One of the things that appealed to me as well about this initiative is, in a way, you're almost saying to people, if you want to create some content for this platform, you can do that.
Absolutely. Anyone who has got good content, we'd be interested in having it. We would love to put it up on the platform. You will have seen from some of the people here, some of our creators are as young as 12. They've produced some very good games. But we've got people who are much, much older who produced extremely good games. And we really are interested in any level of game just to engage and keep people interested, and to start building up those skills, which will eventually end in a cybersecurity career.
It looks to me like it's definitely going to succeed because of the rich content that's available, and you've got these very, very encouraging ambassadors in terms of what they've created. Do you think there's a danger that it might over-glamorize cybersecurity, or it might attract the wrong types of people?
I'm not sure there is a wrong type of person. I think one of our issues, and I get asked this question quite a lot, is that because we haven't taught the subject particularly well in schools for a number of years, what then is missed out is the ethical context of all of this. And skills are skills, and you learn skills, and it's then how you use those skills. And actually, if you haven't been given the information about what is the proper use of those skills and what isn't, then it's not surprising some people do things they shouldn't.
Yeah, it was lovely to listen to Dan's dad, James, saying that, because I said to him, well, aren't you worried that he could do all this bad stuff? He said, but as a parent, I feel confident that I've raised him up in the right way, so he knows the difference between right and wrong. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Not at all. Okay. Delighted.
Thank you.